Don't the guys sound good today? That cold didn't stiffen them up. Doing real good. Or real well, I guess I should say. look with me, please, in the Scriptures to the 34th Psalm, Psalm 34. We begin last week a new series that we're calling The Fear of the Lord. The Fear of the Lord. Now, if you've read the Scriptures much, you've come across this phrase, the fear of God, fear of the Lord, fearing the Lord. And you'll find it both in the Old Testament and the New. And I think sometimes people have maybe not much of an idea about what it is, or maybe just a limited concept. But if you look at the Scriptures, it's something we should understand, something we should know, we need to know. So Psalm 34. Psalm 34. And you won't scare me if you say amen once in a while and or praise the Lord or and I'm just glad you're here. Psalm 34 and 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You know, sometimes people read that and they think, well, that's not practical. You can't really do that. Well, I reckon the Lord would know whether you could do it or not. I was ministering to a woman some years ago who had been in and out of mental institutions and just had a really bad situation. And the Lord prompted me to share with her from Joshua that this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you'll meditate in it night and day, right? Yes. That you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. And she just interrupted me. She said, you can't do that. You can't meditate in the Word of God night and day. Well, she just said what some people thought. And without me thinking, it came right up out of my spirit. I said, dear, you're already meditating on something night and day. It's not can you. You already are. And the fact that it's put you in the mental institution means it's the wrong thing. You've been thinking on the wrong things night and day. It's not a matter, can you do it? It's a matter of switching. Yes. Switching what you're doing, what you're thinking. And so you're thinking something and saying something all the time. Well, let's get it on the right channel. What do you say? Yes. And let's be thinking about the Lord and what He said. And it'll be just natural to praise Him. Right? And that doesn't mean, you know, every breath, but continually means there's never a day when you don't. And you don't go, you know, days and weeks. And this is just your life. All the time you are praising God and thanking God. Keep reading. He said, verse 2, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. You know, something about us likes to brag. And the thing is, it's okay to brag. Just not on yourself.
That's right.
Brag on God. Yes. Right? Brag on what He has done. And that's good. And that's right. Verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Now, we may have heard this a number of times, but don't rush past it. Do what with the Lord? Magnify. Now, magnify literally means to make bigger, to enlarge. It's kind of like a magnifying glass, right? If you put a magnifying glass over something, the image to your eyes does what? Bigger. So make bigger the Lord. Make big the Lord with me. Now, you can't make him any bigger, but he can sure be bigger to you. And let us exalt his name together. Say it out loud. Magnify.
Magnify.
Exalt.
Exalt.
Magnify and exalt. Now, we're already seeing things about the fear of the Lord because he's going to mention that immediately. Look at the fourth verse. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Now, you need to distinguish my fears. Keep going. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Back it up to verse 6. Did you notice it didn't say the poor man cried and the Lord said, yeah, but I want you to be poor? So just bear it. This is your... No. He saved me. Saved him out of all his troubles. That means you got delivered out of your money troubles. Keep going. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivers them. Now all of this flows together. You'll find, we need to begin to ask and answer the question, what is the fear of God? What is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord involves magnifying and exalting. If you fear the Lord, to you the Lord is a big deal. And you never minimize God nor the things of God. You magnify God and the things of God. And you know that you cannot exaggerate how big he is and how great he is. And we just got through talking about boasting. Right? Boasting in the Lord. You can stretch as big as you can possibly think and talk about God to the limits of your vocabulary and enthusiasm, and nobody can legitimately go, well, you're just exaggerating. No, I'm not. He's bigger than what I just said. I said as big as I know how, and he's bigger than that.
That's right.
Come say it out loud. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt.
Let us exalt.
Exalt.
Magnify.
Exalt.
Exalt.
His name. Together. God is big, big, big. His word is a big deal. His Holy Spirit is a big, big deal. Big deal. People who have no fear of the Lord won't do that. They don't do that. They minimize and even mock. People who have no fear of God, they certainly won't magnify God, and they will even mock God and the things of God. That's an indication of someone who has no fear of God. Keep reading. Now, the first thing that we saw here, we're already seeing benefits. Back up to verse 7 again. The angel of the Lord encamps round about everybody? No. Those that fear him to do what?
Deliver.
Huh? Deliver. Not just watch you while you spiral down the drain. Right? But give you a hand and get you out. Deliver them. Hallelujah. Is that you? Come on, say that's me. I fear the Lord. The angels of the Lord encamp round about me, and they deliver me. Verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, it's good to be delivered. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. And trusting God goes hand in hand with the fear of God. Keep looking. Oh, what? Fear the Lord. Well, should we or not? Well, we got to know what it is to develop in it. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. No want. Angelic protection and deliverance and no want. Just those two benefits, right? How much does that cover? And this is not just for any and everybody on the planet. This is for those who fear the Lord. Say it out loud. I fear the Lord.
I fear the Lord.
Lord, open my eyes,
Lord, open
my ears,
my heart,
my mind.
Teach me
the fear of the Lord.
The fear of the Lord.
He said, oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want. No want. To them that fear him. Keep reading. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord, and see, that's connected to the previous verse. Those that fear the Lord, seek the Lord, they shall not want any good thing. Wow. Shall not want any good thing. So don't tell me it might be God's will for me to be broke. I just can't. That doesn't agree with this. Verse 11. Come ye children, hearken to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So it's teachable. And if it's teachable, it's learnable. Right? And you and I just got through praying a prayer. Saying, Lord, teach me. I want to know. I want to learn. I want to grow. And so I'm believing for utterance and direction and anointing, and you're believing for it with me. Is that right?
Yes.
That we will learn and we will grow
yes.
and we will develop in this.
Yes.
And already from what I've seen, there are some of the greatest benefits
yes.
from this, of anything you want to talk about. We've only just scratched the surface so far. But how many like being delivered and no want?
Yeah.
Would you say, sign me up? Sign me up. Amen and amen. Yes, yes. Go to Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. This was our other text. Ecclesiastes 12 is the last chapter of Ecclesiastes. And he gives some summary remarks that really go back to the book of Proverbs, what we call the wisdom writings. And there are numerous references to the fear of the Lord, fear of God, in the book of Proverbs. Quite a few of them. And if you're hungry to learn and you want to get ahead of me some, start looking in Proverbs, where it says fear of the Lord, fear of God, fear of the Lord. There are places in Psalms as well, but especially in Proverbs and in Ecclesiastes. And so one of the things that you'll see that he says repeatedly, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Amen.
Beginning means what? That's where it starts. And you'll find that you cannot unlock or open and understand the great things of God because you imagine yourself to be smart. You could be what the world considers the greatest genius of all. And if you don't respect God, you won't get a thing. It won't matter how much you read, how much you study, and that's why these people who don't respect God and don't fear God, they come up with all the wrong answers and all the wrong conclusions about things because the first step in understanding the holy things is to bow the knee. Come on, y'all with me. Bow the knee in the heart, in the mind. Show God the honor that's due Him. Show Him the respect that is owed to Him. And the moment you didn't, of course, He'll know if you're just doing something as a front or whether it's really your heart. But if you do, the moment you do that from the heart, already your eyes are being opened. That's how it works. The more respect you show Him, the more fear, the more honor you show Him, the more your mind will open up. And the sharper and clearer you will see and hear and understand. But it begins. It starts with what? The fear. The holy reverence, respect, and fear of God. That's where it all starts. So in Ecclesiastes, he is summarizing all the things that he said in Proverbs and in the previous 11 chapters of Ecclesiastes. And here's the summary. Verse 13, Ecclesiastes 12, 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Now, this is somebody that you should listen to, because God said Solomon had more wisdom than anybody before him or anybody after. God gave him understanding, the Bible said, like the seashore is wide. Whew. So smart don't cover it. But here he says, this is it. After decades of life and God filling him with his wisdom, and after all the previous things he had written and said in his thousands of proverbs and songs, he said, this is the conclusion of the whole matter. What? Fear God. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. What? Fear God. Do what he said. Huh? So the next time you hear somebody get a wistful eye and go, why are we here? Wait, say, I got your answer, brother. I got your answer right here. What's the meaning of it all? What's the purpose of, hey, you don't have to look anymore. Good news. We got your answer right here. How many think it's only reasonable you should show respect to the one whose gravity is holding your feet on the ground, to the one whose air you are breathing, to the one whose life keeps your brain working and gives your spirit existence? I mean, that's just the basic beginning of a thing, is to say, God, thank you that I'm here, right? Thank you. Thank you that I exist. But people who don't believe have no respect. But we are not those. He went on to say, this is the Amplified, verse 13. Says it like this, all has been heard, and the end of the matter is fear God. Keep his commandments. This is the whole of man. The full original purpose of his creation, the object of God's providence, the root of the character, the foundation of all happiness, the adjustment to all inharmonious circumstances and conditions under the sun, and the whole duty for every man.
Amen.
That's it.
That's it.
This is it. The whole thing. Fear God. And do what he says. And if you really fought, then you would do what he said.
Amen.
Now, verse 14, notice this too. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it is good or evil. Now, here we get to a big part of this. People who don't fear God act like there is no God. That's how they act. And even though they might say, oh, yeah, you know, yeah, okay, I believe in God, it's just a general term, and you can watch the way they act and live until they don't. The fear of God necessitates that you are aware that this is the shortest thing I will ever do, is this life. And soon and very soon, there's coming judgment. The judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment. And God is going to judge everything. Everything that has happened down here from start to finish. Should that scare you? If you rejected Him, it should terrify you. Are y'all with me? If I have accepted Jesus and Jesus paid the price for my judgment, oh, hallelujah, then I'm not scared I'm going to be lost. I know that's already done. I'm saved no matter what happens. But that's not all there is. We Christians will be judged for what we have done in the flesh, not to see if we're saved or lost, but whether we get any reward or don't. What we do will be judged. The Bible says the fire will judge it. And there will be things that when the fire judges it, it'll turn out that it was just flesh and temporary man stuff, and it'll be consumed by the fire like wood, hay, and stubble. And it wouldn't matter how big it was or what people thought about it at the time, it's gone. There's no reward for that. But things that are done by the direction of the Spirit and done with the right heart and in faith and love and obedience to God, when the fire tries them, they will glisten like gold and like silver and precious stones, and there will be eternal reward for those things. And we should care about this. I said we should care about this. This is real. There's going to be some people that, Christians, they are saved, but they have virtually no reward. Well, think about it. A lot of Christians, they won't even go to church. They barely pray. They never sought the Lord about His plan for their life. They never got in and tried to help anybody do anything in the kingdom. They won't be lost. They're saved. But no reward and no reward place. And it's not going, God is not communist. And He's not a socialist. It's not going to be evenly divided among everybody. No. And that wouldn't be fair. I said that wouldn't be fair. If you got people who won't even go to church and won't even try to do anything for God, and you got other people who were willing to sacrifice and do anything God told them for 50 years, should they get the same reward? They should not. So the fear of God means you are aware of this every day of your life. Huh? It's not a crippling fear. I'm not in terror. I just, you know, you might say, well, yeah, but Brother Keith, you're a preacher. What's that got to do with it? Huh? All of us are made for a purpose. And all of us have a part to the kingdom. And everybody can do something. You won't be rewarded according if you're a preacher or not. What did the Lord say? You've been faithful in a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over much. It's about being faithful in what He told you to do. That's what it's about. And so all of us should think the same. Every day of my life, Phyllis and I, we're thinking from the time we get up to the time we go to bed, we want to get it right. Are y'all with me? Want to get it right. The only way to get it right is to get it from Him and be led by His Spirit. And I want to get it right. We want to do the things that He's directing us to do, because that's what's going to bear the most fruit. That's what's going to do the most good. And it's not just reaching people. It's reaching people with what God wants them to be reached with. It's not just a size or a number. It's the things that are going to be the gold and precious jewels at the end of all this. So people who fear God, they live with an awareness of God all the time. You talk to Him all the time. Is that right? Inquiring of Him all the time. Bible said, in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Now, people who don't fear God, they get up every day and they never think about God. They don't ask God about anything. They make their plans. They do them. And they act like there's no God. And they act like there's no future. And they act like there's no judgment after all this. Look with me, if you would, to, let's see, the 14th Psalm. Let's look in the couple of places here in Psalms. This okay? In Psalm 14:1, and you'll find the exact same thing in Psalm 53:1. Exact same thing. Psalm 14:1, it says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." There's no God. Are there a lot of people on the planet that think that? Oh, yeah. There are people that mock us. And go, they call us the fools. Yes. Huh? Yeah. Religious fools. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Y'all go to that church and listen to all that and go through all that and even give money and do all this. They think you the fool. Because if there's no God, this church is a sham. Yeah. Right? Yeah. And every other church. Right. If there's no God, praying is a waste of time. Well, millions act like there's no God. In the 10th Psalm, just back up a few pages, Psalm 10 and verse 4. Psalm 10, verse 4, it says, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God." God is not in all his thoughts. Now, if you read other translations, it brings out another side of this. The Complete Jewish Bible. Do we have that one or not? If we do, stick it up. CJB, the Complete Jewish Bible says, "The wicked boasts." Yeah, we do. Aren't these guys quick? Did you see that? They must be prayed up in the spirit there. They are ready to go. Because they ain't got a clue where I'm going. Because sometimes I don't know where I'm going. So the wicked boasts about his lusts. He blesses greed and despises Adonai. Or despises the Lord. Now this is one of the best definitions you'll see about what the fear of the Lord is. There's other scriptures, as time goes on, we'll go to them and talk about them. But in Proverbs, you'll see more than once where it contrasts the fear of the Lord with despising. Sometimes you find out what something is by finding out what it's not. And the opposite of the fear of the Lord is despising. That's the opposite. And to despise has a broad range. Sometimes I think when people hear the word despise, they only think of the extreme of disgust or cursing or blaspheming, and certainly that is. But one degree of despising is just ignoring it. Because to despise means to make light of it. One of the definitions is to make light of it. To treat it like it's nothing. You know, the Lord prompted us to put these words over our platform. And if you're familiar with this in Samuel, in fact, just hold your place, go there, because we don't want to assume anything. 1 Samuel and 2. This is 1 Samuel 2:30 is where this verse is. And in 1 Samuel 2:30, the latter part of it, he said, "For them that honor me," what? "I will honor." And what's the rest of it? "They that" what? "Despise me." So is that the exact opposite of honor? Yes, it is. And honor is part of the fear of the Lord. Part of it. "Those that honor me, I will honor." And you'll find this is God everywhere, every area, all the time. The granddaddy principle of his creation and all he does is sowing and reaping. Because that is perfectly just. And so he treats you the way you treat him. And he'll treat your things the way you treat his things. If you honor him, what did he say? Could you count on that? You can count on it. You know, the first time we put that up on a platform, we owed for every blade of grass on that property and had nothing hardly to put in it. And so the Lord honored us and brought crowds and brought money and brought blessing. And we paid for it and moved over here and expanded and increased. So we better bring our words with us. Is that right? We better bring our words and him and paid for it all. Is that the Lord honoring you when he shows up in your service? And the anointing is there, and his presence is there, and answers are there, and all of your needs are supplied. And so then when we started the work down in Sarasota, hey, don't leave your words behind. We put our words up here. Those that honor the Lord. He said, "I will honor," but what's the rest of it? What's the rest of it? "But those that" what? "Despise me shall be lightly esteemed," which is a definition of despise. So to despise doesn't just mean to cuss and blaspheme, certainly that is, but it includes everything in between and all the way to just treating it like it's nothing. Treating it like it's nothing is not acceptable to the Lord. And boy, there's a lot of folks doing that. There's a lot of people acting like they can take it or they can leave it. No big deal. Don't care. Whatever. You hear that kind of thing? And so they're despising it. And that doesn't mean they're lost, but it means their things will be treated as though they're not important. Did you hear that? Their things, their business, their money, their family will be treated like whatever. No big deal. Now, if you really know that, you make a change. Is that right? And you'll say, "God, you're a big deal. You're a very big deal to me. Very big deal to me. I commend you for being at church this morning. But let me ask you a question. Which is more important? Going to the ball game or going to church?" Now, you know the right answer, but... Tell me which is more important, going to work or going to church? You sure? Do most people treat it that way? No, they don't. No, they don't. Can you see what I'm talking about? Their fear of the Lord is at a low level. And their priorities show it. Is prayer a big deal or not a big deal? Okay to skip for weeks or not okay? Is the Word of God essential to us? Do we need to feed on the Word on a regular basis? Or is it okay to just, you know, show up at church maybe twice a year and never crack a Bible? In it? Well, you can. A lot of people are doing it. But you are despising, treating like they don't matter, the things of God, which means the fear of the Lord is not of any appreciable level in you. And many people are going through their routine and their stuff of the day. And if you watch them and listen to them, you might be able to follow them around for weeks before you hear them say anything about God. So they are acting and living as though there is no God. And that's not the fear of the Lord. Y'all okay? The Amplified. Let's keep reading that. This is Psalm 10:3, Amplified. The wicked man boasts. Is that where we were last time? I think it was. What's that? Oh, 1 Samuel. You're right. Well, we talked about that. Psalm 10:3. The wicked boasts about his lust. He blesses greed and does what? Despises Adonai, which could mean just ignoring, acting like it doesn't matter. Verse 4, every scheme of the wicked in his arrogance says, there is no God. So, no judgment. It doesn't matter what I do or don't do. No heaven, no hell, nothing after this life, no judgment. So nothing will ever be held against me. So it really doesn't matter what I do. Right? Because, you know, people really imagine there will never be any account. Let me give you a news flash. Are you ready? No one ever gets away with anything. No one. Ever. You might say, yeah, Brother Keith, I knew somebody, you know, they killed somebody and it ain't over. I don't care if they died 100 years ago. It ain't over. Some things come out in this life. Others come out later. You would rather it came out now. But the good news is the blood of the Lamb can wash you clean. Hallelujah. But that's not going to have any effect for people who have no respect for the blood of the Lamb and don't even count it. You know, people who have no fear of God and don't believe in God, they think Jesus' blood is just the blood of a man with no holy properties. So they're not saved and they don't have any benefits from it. But people who have a fear of God, they reverence the blood of the Lamb. Ah, hallelujah. The precious blood of the spotless Lamb of God. There is no other sacrifice. There is no other blood. There is no other way for any man or woman to be saved. And so to us who fear the Lord, the blood's everything. It's everything. It bought us. It paid for us. It washes us. It gives us life. It gives us eternal life. It has made us clean enough to stand before the Almighty God without fear of judgment. And it's only because of the blood. We're not trusting in what we've done to be saved. We're trusting only in what He has done to be saved. But anybody that speaks lightly of the blood has no fear of God. Anybody who mocks the blood is lost and in danger of judgment and hell fire. That's as serious as it gets. And if somebody laughs at that and makes fun of that, you should feel sorry for them. Don't get mad. Don't get offended. They're the ones in trouble. Because this life will soon be over. And there are scores of thousands of people leaving this planet every day. Almost two every second are dying somewhere on the planet. And I assure you, not all those people are old. Huh? And I assure you, of these scores of thousands that will die in the next 24 hours, there is a recurring theme among many, many, many of them when they come out of their body and they realize their body's dead, they're thinking, I thought I had more time. I thought I would be alive longer. I thought I would be. You need to be ready to go now, right now, today. Now, you want to believe God and live your whole life, but you better be ready right now. And the only way to be ready is to show God reverence and fear and accept His gift of salvation in His Son. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Humbly and thankfully. Somebody say, I do.
I do.
I do. But see, the thought, the words that there is no God, and the words that all their thoughts is there's no God, so there's not going to be any punishment or any of that. That paints you the picture, shows you perfectly no fear of God. No fear of God. You know, the psalmist said this, teach us to number our days.
Yes.
What does that mean? See, I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. Listen, this is part of it. Teach me to number my days. What does that mean? How long have I got left before I'm out of here? Right? If you're a Christian, that shouldn't terrify you. To depart here and to go to be with the Lord, the Bible said, is better. It's far better. Right? And yet, life is already short as it is. If you live 100 plus, you don't want to be robbed of years that you should have had, because service to the Lord comes with eternal reward past this. Do not short yourself. Do not cut yourself off. And you hear people say, well, I don't care. As long as I get in, that's all. Well, you say that now. But when you get there and see what everybody's getting, you might think, man, you know, I wish I'd have done what he told me to do. And the good news is you're still alive. You could have some time. Is that right? Still alive. Got some time. And you know, the New Testament said, redeem the time, right? Because the days are evil. So the Lord prompted Phyllis and I to pray this prayer over ourselves. Oh, this has been, I don't know, 7, 8 years ago now. And I can see it working in our lives, the Lord helping us with this. The Lord prompted me about that scripture. He said, ask me to give you the wisdom and discernment and direction how to spend your remaining days and strength for God's highest and best purposes so that you're not wasting it. You want me to lead you in that prayer? Would you release faith? Everybody say it out loud. Father God, you said that we should number our days. We should redeem the time. So I'm asking you in the name of Jesus for grace, for wisdom, for direction and help, for awareness and discernment to spend my remaining days, my remaining strength, my remaining opportunities and resources for your very highest and best uses and purposes. I ask it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now that is His will. And what you'll find, the way this will work, maybe before the day's over, you'll be doing something and the Lord will prompt you, that's a waste of time. That's a total waste of your time. Don't do that. Or, you know, cut that in half. Yeah. Don't do that as much. And then, you know, maybe Tuesday or something, you'll do something. And the Lord will prompt you, that is an excellent use of your time. Yeah. Do that some more. Do a lot more of that. Uh-huh. Now, you can ignore it. No. And you can just be a creature of habit and not make any adjustments and changes. But He will do His part.
Yes.
He'll show you. He'll prompt you. And so if you're smart, you'll say, sir, yes, sir, right? And I'm going to make an adjustment. Okay, some things, just quit that. Don't need to do that anymore, right? Other things, man, we're going to do twice of that. That the Lord said that was good. That's right. So this is a good use of our time. Because I'm telling you, it will not be long at all until you'll be breathing your last. And you'll be leaving here, and you don't want to leave with things undone. You know, remember what Paul was able to say near the end of his life? He said, the time of my departure is at hand. He knew it in his spirit. I'm about to leave here. And he said, I've fought a good fight. I've run a good race and course. I have kept the faith. And he said, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness and for everybody that loves his coming. See, not just him. So, boy, there is no better thing that at the end of your life, you're full of days, you're satisfied. No, you didn't do everything perfect, but you repented and you didn't quit. And you have the sense, I was what he wanted me to be. At least mostly, and right, and I did what he was directing me to do, right? Oh, you don't want to die realizing I wasted the last 40 years of my life. You don't want to, people are doing that. You don't want to do that. And what will help us not to do that? The fear of the Lord. Living in an awareness of him and an awareness of where we are in life and in eternity, and what's about to happen in just a few days, right out in front of us. Not something to be terrified of, but something to be aware of as a child of God. Is that okay? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, why don't you go ahead and stand before I start in on another point here. Oh, hallelujah. Thanks be to God. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever and ever. And because of that, we're going to make it. Hallelujah. We don't know who's in the house or who's in Sarasota or who's watching online. So let's everybody affirm or reaffirm our faith today. And prayer workers, you can come while we're doing this. Say it out loud, Father God, I do believe in you. And I believe in your Son, the only sacrifice for sin, the only Savior of mankind, that you allowed him to pay the price for all my sins, for all my failures, and that you raised him from the dead, free from it all, and that he is alive right now, King of kings, Lord of lords, soon to come again. Jesus, I confess you the Lord of my life. I receive all you have done for us. I receive cleansing, washing, forgiveness. I receive eternal life. Thank you for saving me. Hallelujah. Lord, we purpose that we will reverence you. We will honor you. And as you teach us throughout these series and these upcoming weeks and days and months, we will grow in it. We will get stronger in it. Because you are worthy. You are worthy. Thank you, my God. Go ahead, lift your hands and tell him out of your own mouth. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Honor and glory forever.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Honor and glory forever.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Honor and glory forever.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Honor and glory forever.
Honor and glory.
Honor and glory forever.
Honor and glory.
Honor and glory forever. Amen.
To the King.
To the King eternal, immortal,
visible,
visible.
About receiving and confessing Jesus as Lord for the first time, don't rush out. Come down to the front. Let these folks celebrate with you. The Bible teaches not to be ashamed of confessing Him. You need to let somebody know. And one of the greatest, easiest places to do that's right here, right now. These folks will just shout with you. How many think we're going to grow in this series? And these, yeah, the Lord's already helping us. I know that He is. Well, we love you. We thank God for you. He's doing great things in your life. Let's sing it as we go.